Good morning. That announcement was very clear to me. I keep hearing lunch and lunch and lunch. That's the important part. So good to be with you, beloved. It's always a joy to be with God's people and to be able to remember our Lord, first of all, in the breaking of the bread and the drinking of the cup. And the privilege of sharing his word with his people. The last hymn we sang said, "In your church, Lord, be glorified." Well, we're going to talk about the church today. The church of Jesus Christ. We're going to use biblical metaphors that describe the church of Jesus Christ, figure of speech that applies to the church and what the Lord Jesus Christ means to that church. The definition of the church is comes from two Greek words, ekklesia, meaning to call out. The church, in the general sense, refers to a meeting, any meeting of called out ones. But in the New Testament sense of the word, which is applied to the church of Jesus Christ, are those who are called out unto himself, the gathering of the saints, whether you say church or assembly, it means the same thing. The church, the ecclesia, the called out ones. Now James, when he was responding in Acts chapter 15, to those who had come to inquire about those who were insisting that Gentile believers become Jewish proselytes, he made a statement that concerning the church, the ecclesia, the called out ones, he said, Simon Peter had mentioned that God was first visiting the nations to take out of them a people for his name, the called out ones. I said we were going to use metaphors, biblical metaphors. First of all, the church is, this might sound contrary to what we say, but it's not a contradiction. The church is a building. Not the mortar and the brick that you're sitting in. But the church is a building, and as the building, Christ is the foundation. The church is referred to as a temple. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. The church is a body, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the head. The church is a flock, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the shepherd. The church is a bride, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the bridegroom. biblical metaphors as it refers to the church of Jesus Christ, the called out ones, called out from the world and called unto himself. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 3, metaphor number 1, the building. Verse 9 says, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's cultivated field. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth on it. But let every man take heed how he buildeth upon it. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall test every man's work of what sort it is." If you know anything about building, and I don't, not a whole lot, You would know for sure that the integrity of every building, the strength of every building depends on its foundation, upon what it is it's built. If the foundation is shaky, then that building will be shaky as well. If the foundation is well laid, then you can erect a good and a strong structure thereon. The Bible teaches clearly that we are God's building. Not the mortar and the brick, but we, as the church, the called out ones, we are his building. But we are built upon the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. When the Lord Jesus posed that question to Simon Peter in Matthew chapter 16, he asked him clearly, "Who do men say that I am?" And they had so many different answers. Then he turned and he said to them, "Whom say ye that I am?" And it was Simon Peter who answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And the Lord Jesus turned to him and he said, "You are Peter." And don't let us mix this up. Petros, you are a stone. You are a stone. That's a little stone. And upon this rock, Petra, the massive rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It was not built on Petros. It was not built on Peter. but rather upon Christ and Peter's confession that he was the Messiah, he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that's where the church is laid. That's where the church has been built on Christ. That's why we were sang earlier, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And Peter never claimed to be the foundation of the church anyway. He always pointed to Christ as the foundation and as the chief cornerstone. Paul, in his epistle to Timothy, he writes to Timothy in his absence, and he said this in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, "If I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth." The church, the pillar and the ground of the truth. Also in 2 Timothy. You know, the Lord has given us extensive teaching concerning the church. The church of Jesus Christ in his word, especially in the epistles. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 19 says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." But in a great house, building, a great house, they are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and fit for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. The house, the church is the house of God. It is the church of God. It is the pillar and ground of the truth. The Lord Jesus spoke not only at that time to Simon Peter and the disciples, but he described those who are built on the foundation, the sure foundation. And he spoke in Matthew chapter 7, if you will. I just want to read it for you. Matthew chapter 7. I remember as a lad in Sunday school, I like them to sing the chorus of the wise man who built his house upon the rock. I like to sing that because when it came to the second verse of the foolish man who built his house upon the sand, it doesn't say that the house fell down or anything. But we used to say, "And the house fell flat." That's built on the sand. Hear the words of the Lord Jesus, Matthew 7, verse 24. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock." That rock is Jesus. "And the rains descended, and the floods came, And the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded or built upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Or as we used to sing in Sunday school, that house fell flat. Religion, for instance, religion is not built on the rock. And so many are saying, well, we are part of the church and we are in the church, and how did you get into the church? What's your foundation? What are you built on? So, well, I am a moral person. I am a religious person. I am a kind person. And all these things are good in and of themselves, but these things don't get you into the church. You have to be born again. You have to be born of the Spirit of God. You have to be born from above. You have to be redeemed by the blood of Christ. And you have to be baptized into the body of Christ, which we're going to talk about later. In Psalm 11, verse 3, it says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Building on the sand without the proper foundation, it will be destroyed. And we look in our society today, we look worldwide across this land and around the world, and we see that the foundations of this world, they are all out of course. Because they are built on sand. All the foundations of the earth out of course. But the house that is built on the rock, the solid rock which is Christ, shall endure forever. And the Lord says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Bring all the winds and the waves and let them beat on that house. And it would remain steadfast because it is built on Christ. In the Old Testament, in Isaiah 28, I just want to go there for one prophecy that's been fulfilled. Isaiah 28. Verse 16, this is what it says. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. That rock, that foundation stone, that tested stone, that precious stone is Jesus Christ. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. The church also is metaphorically referred to as a temple. A temple is a sacred place. We know in the temple there was a certain place where, in the Old Testament, a certain place where God lives, where God shines. It's called the Shekinah. In the Holy of Holies. The cornerstone. And there are differences of opinion concerning what is really a cornerstone. Some say it's that stone that links the corner of the building. Some said that cornerstone is the arch that supports the building. Some say, that cornerstone is the capstone of a pyramid. The capstone. Personally, I like the cornerstone that links this wall with that wall. Be that as it may, the church is a temple, a holy temple, and the Lord Jesus Christ is its chief cornerstone. In Ephesians, in chapter 2, that epistle that deals so much with the church of Jesus Christ, in chapter 2, beginning in verse 19, it says this. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and sojourners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, that doctrine that they taught. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom also you are built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. You see, the temple in that Holy of Holies is where God resided. It's called the shining forth or the Shekinah. And God dwells among his people in the holy temple. When God first called Moses to build the tabernacle, he gave him all the dimensions and all the materials and all the colors. And he said to him, see that you build it after the pattern that was shown thee in the mount. He said, I want you to build this tabernacle and the purpose for that tabernacle, he says, that I may dwell among them. The purpose of God in the temple is that he might dwell among his people. And here we read together that we are an habitation of God. He indwells us by the Spirit. An habitation of God through the Spirit. That's where God dwells. In and among his people. Let them make me a sanctuary, God said, that I may dwell among them. The temple, the church of Jesus Christ, where God dwells. Peter, again we remind, Peter never claimed to be the foundation. Peter talks of Christ as the foundation and the chief cornerstone. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 8, it's beginning of verse 4, it says, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, speaking of our Lord, ye also as living stones. You see, when we talk about the building, it was not this building of the brick and mortar, but spiritual stones, living stones, the people of God, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, that's the believers, that's the body of Christ, ye also as living stones are built up a spiritual house. That's the building I'm talking about. You're built up a spiritual house. And holy priesthood, you know what the main function of a priest is, to offer up sacrifices. To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion, remember we read that in Isaiah, a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, who believe, he is precious. But unto them who are disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, and that happened when the Lord Jesus came the first time. He was disallowed. He was rejected. The stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. He's the head of the church. And in the second advent, he would be accepted to by those who rejected him. They would turn to him. A stone of stumbling, that's for the Jewish people who stumbled because he did not come in messianic glory and they didn't recognize him. He was in the world and the world was made by him and the world knew him not. He came unto his own people. He came on his own things and his own people received him not. Disallowed, they stumbled over him. Is not this the son of Joseph? Is not this the man from Nazareth? Remember, no, nothing good has ever come out of Nazareth. No prophet has ever risen out of Nazareth. And they went on and on and on. We know his mother. We know his brethren. They stumbled over him. They didn't recognize who he was. A stone of stumbling. A rock of offense. Even to them that stumble at the word. Being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. You know, to the Jewish people, he was a stumbling rock, a stumbling stone. They stumbled over him. To the church, he is the chief cornerstone. To the Jewish, to the Gentile nations, he will be that crushing stone that's cut out without hands, according to Daniel chapter 2. For us, beloved believers, the church, he is the living stone. We are built up a spiritual house. That's the building we're talking about. A spiritual house. Chief cornerstone, Psalm 118:22 speaks of his first and second advent, the stone rejected, and then the stone head of the corner. We don't have a whole lot of time, so we want to finish this segment here. Peter, in his sermon there after Pentecost in Acts chapter 4, let me just read that. Acts chapter 4, speaking of the Lord Jesus and speaking of the fulfillment of the prophecy. In Acts 4 and verse 11, he said this. This is the stone which was set at naught. Same thing as you disallowed. Was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The chief cornerstone in the temple, the holy temple. The temple is the church. And there are blessings, beloved, if we honor the presence of the Lord in our midst. But there are consequences as well if we reject and dishonor that holy temple. Going back to 1 Corinthians in chapter 3, this is clearly a reference to the church of Jesus Christ. Verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple? That's where God dwells, among his people. You and I, we are living stones. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? That's what we read in Ephesians chapter 2, that we are an habitation of God through his Spirit. And this is what it's saying here. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. When Moses had completed the tabernacle, he had to stand outside because the Lord occupied the inside, and he was afraid to go in because of the presence of the Lord. He inhabited that place. And he shone forth his glory, the Shekinah. That's where he dwells. If you defile that temple, it says God will destroy. But there's another temple. It's important. And that's where he lives as well. He lives in a temple. In chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians, he says what? Know ye not that your body, this is personal now. This is the first one was the church, the ecclesia, the body of Christ, the called out ones. Now it's getting personal. It's your personal temple that where God lives. It says in verse 19, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have of God, and you are not your own. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Your body, my body, is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus Christ says, when the Comforter has come, he shall be with you and he shall be in you, in you. So be careful how you treat the temple of the living God. Individual body. The Lord Jesus recognized that his body was a temple as well. He said, and it misunderstood that statement altogether. He said, you destroy this body, this temple, and in 3 days I will rebuild it. He was talking about the temple, his body, and they said, oh, how could he do this? It took 46 years to build this temple, and he was going to destroy it and build it in 3 days? He was speaking of the temple of his body. So the body is a temple. In 2 Corinthians, in chapter 6, just for connection, verse 15 says, and what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Wow. For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them. That's where he dwells, in the temple, that sanctified place, that holy temple. Ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, the temple must be set apart. It must be holy, it must be preserved, it must be set apart for God. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. That's where he dwells. Christ's body is the temple. So here we have it, beloved. The first 2 points I want to raise, and I will not attempt the third one because except to introduce it for later on. But the building, and Christ is the foundation. We are built upon Christ. And this church will endure. Not even Satan and his hosts can destroy the church when it is built on Christ and we stand firm on the rock and the temple. That set apart place, that holy temple, that sacred place is collectively his people, his church. And he is the chief cornerstone. We are kept together. We are built together. We keep the church is held together. A holy temple in the Lord, held together and inhabited by the Spirit of God. That stone was disallowed and rejected at his first advent. When he comes again, as far as Israel is concerned, he will be the head of the corner. But to us believers, the chief cornerstone, unto us who believe, he is precious. The precious cornerstone. If you will and you want to continue this study with us, we're going to look at the metaphor of the body. And we find in that the Lord Jesus is the head. A body only has one head. We sometimes sing the church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is its new creation by water and the Word. So we're going to look at the body. The body, which is Christ's body, the church. He is the head. You and I, we are members of that body. If you think it's not important to be a finger in the body, just take a hammer and pound this finger. You'll see how you feel. The whole body would suffer. So we have responsibilities. We're going to look at that later on. God bless his word. Good to be with you, beloved. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, the foundation of the church. We are built upon him. We thank thee too that he is the chief cornerstone by whom the building fitly framed together. We thank thee that we, as the Church of Jesus Christ, we are an habitation of God. That's where he lives, by his Spirit. Give us grace then to honor that body, to not defile the body, but to honor and cherish it, and to be sanctified and set apart for God. Thank you for thy precious word. Thank you for its teaching. Thank you for its clarity. Thank you for the inspiration of the scriptures. Thank you for bringing us together this morning to remember our blessed Redeemer. Thank you for this privilege of sharing your word together with thy people. Lord, accept of our thanksgivings and watch over us as we part the one from the other. Be with us and guide us and take us to our respective homes in peace and in safety. Bring us together again to look into thy precious word, for we pray and give thanks. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.